and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like, plural. Big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S. Bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man. That kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday continues here on WGR. The Bills over the Chiefs, 30-21. Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. As you may know, we spent a lot of last week trying to figure out, talk through the importance of yesterday's game. You were just saying to a caller a few minutes ago, yeah, I got there. You know, the excitement in the stadium, it came out. The energy, the excitement came out. I loved last week because, I mean, I'm maybe safer. You want to live life.
I need the juice.
I want to hide. So I loved last week because I felt that there was no downside, really.
Yeah.
You know, apart from injuries, there was really no, okay, you know, how's Kansas City today? Probably. Okay. You know, you would not like it, but it wouldn't hurt that much. And so the win would not be as satisfying to somebody with that mentality, I would have to admit. But I really did love last week, all the way up until kickoff and then the game. I just thought, like, it just put, thinking about it always put a smile on my face.
Yep.
The magnitude of it all, the interest in it, really, like, this is another one of these times when I'm inclined to sort of reflect on how this has all happened. And this is like a good 5 years now where the Bills have reached this kind of status that every team aspires to. And there was an opportunity in your home stadium, great weather to show off, if you will.
Yeah. I didn't see every minute of the pregame show, but I did see most of it. And I know, like, mostly, you know, those shows, all I or we really ever do, the only time they ever come up is if we're poking fun at them, right? Bill Cowher and the buzzers and all the whatever, right? Just nonsense. It was, I thought it was really cool. It was really, really well done. I mean, they had, it was so funny. Like, I turn it on, and it's like quarter to, well, I had it on for longer than this, but like quarter to one, maybe 10 to one. There's Nance sitting there. And, like, I know how clocks work, and I know what time the game is, so I know it's 4:25. But for some reason, when I saw Nance there, I thought, it's only, like, 10 minutes before kickoff. I can't believe he's not in the booth. I'm like, oh, yeah. He's got 3.5 hours.
Was he in the parking lot?
Yeah, he came down to the set to sit with those guys. And they all, Nance didn't, but the rest of them, even Cowher, took their turn going through a table, and like it was, I don't know, it was fun. I thought it looked good, it sounded good, and you know everyone there was talking about you know the spectacle that this game was going to be, and you know that the pregame show I think is supposed to do that for you, right? That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do Monday through Friday, is get you excited about the game. You know, to an extent. I mean, it's different on Monday through Friday than a pregame show, but like that's it. And it served that purpose, even though the game didn't start again for, you know, another 3.5 hours after they were done. I was glad I made a point to see it. I thought it was really well done. And I don't have anything against that show over any of the other ones. They're all pretty, you know, useless to me. But I liked it. They came off really well. I think the energy of the crowd there. And it wasn't one of these deals where it was so obnoxiously loud that, you know, you can't even barely hear the people that are supposed to be doing the talking. Or you know that they can't. Maybe as a broadcaster, I think about this more than the average fan would. Like, can they even hear? Are they having a good time? Can they even hear one another? Are they thinking, I got to talk to my agent about this? I don't want to have to go on the road and do that. It just came off like they were all happy to be. It just really was good. It was a good presentation. So I'm glad they came.
Oh, I am too. The Bills are 4.5 games up in the AFC East with 6 left. The Dolphins have 7 left, having already had their bye week. So it's about done.
Yeah, I saw, I didn't check this. I don't think Sal checked it, but one of his listeners to the Extra Point Show sent him this. Sal said, math checks out, I believe. This is quite a few hours ago now, and I haven't seen this circulating widely, but this listener to Sal said, Bills can clinch with Dolphins losing to the Pats and the Packers and a Jets loss to the Seahawks before they even get on the field against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how about that? Because they play Sunday night, so those other teams would be playing ahead of you. Neither of them are playing on Monday night. I mean, that's pretty tasty. If you could get to that.
Before week 13
before you even play San Francisco.
Six games left.
Right. That's amazing.
The shades of 1988.
Yeah, right.
What week would that have been? Do we have this last week?
We recently talked about it, how early. It was November. I don't remember what week, though.
In 88, they clinched in week 12. Four games left. This would be six.
Right.
I did not expect that this year. I did not. It's not happened yet, but.
Right.
Miami dead? Did we already write them off? 4-6, that's not dead.
No, they're not. They're not dead for a while. It depends on what you think of the teams, around them in the wild card pool, right? I mean, Colts, Broncos, that's your competition, right? Baltimore's down there right now. You got to consider that, I guess, too, right? So, yeah, I mean, who are your wild card teams right now are Baltimore, the Chargers and Denver.
Yep.
I think the Dolphins could catch Denver. The Chargers? Am I overrating the Chargers based on my exposure to them from one night?
You are for me last night. I thought they were good, but they did give up a huge lead, and then they got away with it because the Bengals kicker missed twice in the final 2 minutes, and they scored the touchdown anyway. I felt like it was watching the Chargers of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Last night.
There was a little of that vibe when they couldn't seem to close that game down.
How about Cincinnati though?
Yeah, that kicker, he's been excellent, hasn't he? But he missed a one against Baltimore earlier this year that cost them, and now two last night, and you just got to be beside yourself.
Tucker missed two yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And again, a 2-point game or whatever that was.
I have a theory that I was reminded of with that game yesterday. I'm interested in Baltimore. I'm watching the game cast and he's going to miss. And then he did. And he's going to miss. And then he did. And Pittsburgh did nothing on offense in this game and they won anyway. And he's going to make it. So I've got the 16-15, whatever, Pittsburgh-Baltimore thing. That's just amazing how no matter what season each team is having, that's what Baltimore-Pittsburgh spits out. It's going to be field goals and teens, that weather's perfect. Doesn't matter.
Right.
That's the game that you get. And also, I just have this, because I am not a Pittsburgh fan at all, and I have this feeling that they never miss a field goal at home. But you will on the road. You will miss there.
Mm-hmm.
They will
not. Okay.
Deep down inside, I believe the Steelers have a way of affecting field goals in Heinz Field.
Okay,
how's that going? Remember the door?
Yeah, Giants.
Yeah. Somehow they're able to affect field goals where Boswell never misses and your guy will, as we had yesterday again. Have you ever, no one is old enough here to have ever seen the Steelers miss a field goal in their home stadium. I'm sure of it. They've never missed once. I went, as you know, with my son to see Pitt play at Heinz Field a month ago. And we're there. And I've got my son on my right, and I've got a guy on my left who just loves the Pitt Panthers, and he was a great guy to sit with. And they trot out college football. They trot out a kid to attempt a 60-yard field goal. And I'm like, oh, he's going to make it. Pitt kickers never miss in this stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Drills it. 60. College.
Wow.
The best teams can't make an extra point. College football. 60. Or 58, whatever it is. Something like that. Yep, so there it is.
Yeah.
I tend to scoff at conspiracy stuff, but I do believe the Steelers have a way of determining whether their field goals are going to be good, which they are, and yours are going
to
be bad,
which
they are.
I would like to commission a study on the misses there, because I feel like one end of it, not unlike Ralph Wilson Stadium, right? Isn't it, it always said that the scoreboard end was tougher to kick in than the tunnel, or vice versa. One of the Pittsburgh, that's right up on the river there, and I think that end that backs up to the river is a little more open, and it's also on a body of water, whatever. I feel like the wind is a little bit more of a problem at that end of the field than at the other end.
Well,
so that, but I don't know.
Is there a door?
I've not tracked like where the misses come from, but I can even remember Pittsburgh kickers. Well, this flies in the face of they never miss. But
That's wrong then.
Like years ago when Cower was their coach, talking about how it's tougher at the one end versus the other. So I would imagine that's still the case there.
I think when you're kicking against them, it's tougher at each end.
I see. That's your assertion here. Yes, gotcha.
Steelers field goals this year, 29 for 30. Maybe the kicker is good. I mean, some people would say that.
talent of the player.
I think it's the stadium. Mm. On grass. No, whatever. Extra points, perfect. Boswell, he's 49 for 50 this year. We got a Bass miss yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Another extra point.
Or did we?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, maybe it was good.
Yeah.
listen to me. Tucker for Baltimore, 16 for 22 this year.
That is stinky.
And a missed extra point.
That is bad.
That is bad.
That's not good.
How about, speaking of yesterday around the league, Anthony Richardson.
Thank you, Anthony Richardson.
The Jets bet?
Yeah. I didn't even think about the bet. Just the Jets continuing to burn is that's fuel for me. I need it.
I thought it could really not in any way have gone better for him than what happened yesterday. Not only did he run over Jets defensive players twice for touchdowns, showing that freakish physical talent and strength that he has, back to how the Colts were too proud to use him in short yardage against the Bills, which I'm sure the Bills are going to send him a thank you card.
Yep.
Because like they're going to have Joe Flacco run those plays instead. Like, what a joke. So you got that from Richardson, a large part of why he was drafted so high, no pun intended, right? Large. You got, I mean, great throws throughout this game. 270 passing yards on the road. And they won it on a last-minute drive when they needed a touchdown, down five. And they won it on third-down runs.
Running somebody over, right.
Yes. I mean, how much better of a scenario could you expect to do? I mean, they screwed up the thing, it seems, so many different times with Flacco. And okay, well, I mean, 1 week ago, they announced, we're staying with Joe.
Right.
Like last Monday, after their loss to the Bills.
By midweek, they changed their minds.
On Wednesday, they flip, and they go to Richardson. And what have you got now? You've got a locker room that's probably confused and maybe even upset. Like, what is this? I mean, mm-hmm. We're back to rebuilding. We're back to developing. What are we back to? But he won the game for them. And that could just not have gone any better, because if he struggles at all, we're talking again about Flacco. If they lose, he doesn't even have to struggle. If they lose, oh, was it worth it? You know, that's just the discussion around that stuff gets so loud, and they were lucky enough to avoid all of that, at least for a week, by winning that game. This week, Detroit, by the way. But talking about the AFC, their schedule after this week is a joke.
Division games.
Patriots, the Giants are in there, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and there's one more. Denver,
Right. Which
is not a joke, but that's the team they're going to try to beat out probably
for a spot.
They've
already lost to Houston twice, though, right?
Yes.
Right.
If Houston loses tonight somehow, they will be a game up there, but they have swept the Colts, so it's like two.
Yeah.
But that's not dead either.
Yeah. Well, good for him that he came through like that, because whatever has been going on around him tapping out of that game and getting pulled, like, I know the performances were troubling, completion percentage, but it always felt to me more like the him tapping out of that game before he got benched was like the flashpoint of his being benched, and maybe indicative of like larger issues behind closed doors. Like, what else doesn't he know, or what else doesn't he do right? That kind of stuff. There was even a thing, I mentioned it on Friday. One of the defensive team captains alluded to a meeting, and like, you know, we're making good headway, but there's still a lot we gotta like, get sorted out with this guy. I mean, nothing does the trick better than winning, and winning on your back. Right. So
yeah.
Good for him. I mean, I'm rooting for the kid. I hope he, it probably hasn't sounded like that, because I was in full favor of them benching him. So, if you're tapping out as a quarterback in an NFL game, what else don't you know that would be bothering, you know, other men on the team? They're like, dude, what are you doing?
Well, if there's a toughness element to it, I mean, just specifically
smashing those people.
Absolutely.
Right.
He ran the Jets over.
Right.
On those critical plays, both third down goal line runs for scores. The first one, like, I shuddered when I saw it. Maybe it was DJ Reed, I'm not sure, but he just completely destroyed whoever the poor guy in the end zone, just had no chance. Like, good for him for trying,
yep.
But I think I'd get out of there. Plus, you play for the Jets. I mean,
right.
Think about your future, man. Eric Wood joined us as usual on this Football Monday to talk about the highlights, and there were plenty of them from Bills Chiefs yesterday. Again, if you missed Sean McDermott with us, check it out on the Odyssey app. We even talked a little high school football with the coach. Thanks for listening. Eric Wood with us next here on WGR.